perhaps a very interesting coincidence that the subject for tonight's discussion is the chapter Beyond Time and Space. The Apollo launching today fits in very well and gives us a subject to merge into this chapter. It is very likely that in 5 or 10 years we'll all be looking back at other landings in space where we cannot be sure, and there will be many fortune tellers who will make their predictions. But in spirit, we learn one thing that we can depend upon, that what is going to happen tomorrow is that which is happening today and that which ever will happen. The only thing that will happen is God. And there will be appearances, some good, some not good. But always we must remember something that was said in Ecclesiastes. That which has been is now. That which will be has been. And God requireth that which is past. Now, if we look at that statement in light of the moon launching, and if we accept it to mean what it says, that which has been is now, then this which we call the first recorded launching to go to the moon has been and is now appearing. And that which has been and that which will be is past. Then if we should decide after this one to go to Mars, that too would be the outer evidence of something which is already past, because God requireth that which is past. You might go back 5 billion years. Or more, and reach the realization that the kingdom of God has not changed since then. And God being all there is, that which appears in the outer takes on the complexion of a sort of delayed broadcast, a replay. So that whatever in God is omnipresence slowly unfolds into the outer and may appear momentous to man whose finite mind finds something that lifts him for a moment into a higher degree of awareness, and yet what he is witnessing is but a grain of sand in the omnipresence of God. In fact, man's own identity as infinite spirit is a far more important launching than a moon launching. There was an event almost 2,000 years ago which ultimately will prove to be more important than what is happening today. It was not heralded the same way, and it still is just 3 or 4 words in a book. A man stepped on a ship, and instantly the ship was on the shore. when that was so briefly revealed in Scripture, we were learning something about time and space that was far more advanced than we are learning at this moment by the Apollo launching. We were learning then that if it is possible for a man to step on a ship and that ship to traverse a certain amount of space instantaneously, then our human concepts of time and of space cannot be correct. For according to what we know, it takes so much time to travel so much space in such and such a ship. But here, if we can credit Scripture with reliability, the very opposite of what our human minds would anticipate happened. In the presence of a consciousness which was not in the human mold, but rather the divine, which saw no time and no space, and which saw no material construction moving through time and space. Now, that event was a landmark in the human consciousness. And possibly that event is spinning out into the appearance today of our adventures into inner and outer space. There will be more. Just as when the Spirit descended upon Jesus, signifying the birth of Christ consciousness, that birth also signified the death of material consciousness. And whereas the material consciousness was at that moment dead, it took another 3 years for it to appear as a crucifixion. That which happened spiritually slowly came into appearance as crucifixion. So it is that we have in the outer world those appearances which slowly are coming into an expression of omnipresence. The Father being all that can happen can be only divine. And that which is divine is unchanging, never different tomorrow than it was today or yesterday. So as we look out at this changing facade, we realize that we are not ever going to witness a divine event. There is no such thing as a divine event in this world. We who are walking in the spiritual path are learning that we can walk in a three-dimensional world, but let our consciousness extend out of the three-dimensional world into the fourth, out of time and out of space, so that beyond time and space, in the fourth-dimensional consciousness, we receive our food. And that divine food then appears in the third dimensional form as harmony, health, abundance, and the various qualities of grace which always accompany a spiritual event. And so we are not being asked now to walk physically outside of time and outside of space, but rather to let the consciousness open to the influence of the divine which is not in time and space. We have discovered then that all karma which functions only in the material consciousness, cannot function when you step out of that consciousness. Much of the Far East is under the impression that karma must be lived out, and therefore a passive attitude is accepted, because I have 517 years, according to my charts, to live out this karma. And that, according to our teaching in the infinite way, is not true. The karma only exists because the seeds were sown in the material consciousness. And when you're not in that consciousness, the seeds cannot function in you. And so as we reach beyond time and space, what if phrase it more accurately, as we recognize that right here and now, God is not in time and space, and time and space is not in God, we have accepted one of the major principles revealed in the infinite way, that if it happens in time and in space, it is not of God. So we learn to walk in a different way than other people. We learn that it's possible to live this minute in a different way than everyone on earth is living this minute. We learn that it's necessary to invest this minute with spiritual significance. We know that this minute becomes tomorrow's minute. This minute, if it is not a divine minute, cannot tomorrow appear as divine fruit. The quality of this minute is going to be the quality of tomorrow's minute. And the reaping today is the result of the sowing yesterday. Spiritually, we have the privilege of investing every minute with divine ordination. We could live this minute humanly, sowing to matter, to the flesh, and it follows very naturally then that as this minute is extended and becomes tomorrow's time and space, it will show forth in that time and space as a human experience. If, on the other hand, this minute is seen in its eternal light as the split-second activity of God, if we sow to the Spirit in this minute, then that extension, even though it appears in time and space, will show forth as a spiritual event, and the harvesting will be a spiritual harvesting instead of a human. The future minute will not be separated from the present minute, whether it is divine or human. But the quality of that future minute is going to depend completely on your consciousness now. Your future minute can never go beyond your consciousness now, because your consciousness now is sowing that future minute. And had we, for example, been sowing spiritually for 10 years, this moment would be a spiritual experience and probably a continuing one. And so so the investment of this moment with spiritual significance is going to depend on something that we do consciously. Now, there are many interesting tricks that time plays upon us. Some of them unsuspected, some of them unknown, some of them we can guesstimate. But there is never a moment when time itself is real. God is never to be found in the minute or the hour, the day or the year. God is always the eternal now. And this now is different from the human now. When you say now divine, you're not speaking about now human. Now human can be a moment in which someone puts a trigger to your brain and says, if you don't give me your money, I'll shoot. That would be now human, but it isn't now divine. And the reason it isn't now divine is that it can only happen in time and space. It cannot happen outside of time and space. Now suppose we took that specific incident of somebody pointing a gun at your temple and saying, give me your money or else. And instead of having to hear it, we make a tape recording of it. And then 5 days later, we play the tape recording. And the voice says very ominously, give me your money or else I will blow your brains out. You hear this on the tape recording 5 days later, and you're not the slightest bit frightened, because it's 5 days later. You recognize it as being in time. But at the moment it actually happened, you didn't recognize it as being in time. And yet it was. It was just as much in time in the now humanly as it is 5 days later on a tape recording. And so when you learn the non-power and the non-reality of time, it makes no difference when it happens, whether it's 5 days earlier or later, or in the moment in which the brain makes the report. Always it is happening on a tape recording, whether it's in the flesh or on a tape recorder. Because all that happens in time is like a tape recording. Not only the sound, but the sights, the tastes, the smells, and the touches. It is all an audio-visual event coming to you in time. And although to your human sense it is happening at that moment, it is impossible to happen at that moment, because only God can happen. That moment, which you call a moment of now, started before 5 billion years ago. Just as a star that you see in the sky this moment may be not there, and you are looking solely at the light which emanated from there 10,000 years ago, by now that star may be somewhere else and is. So too with sound and sight on the human level. We are living in something very strange. We are living in our sense of time. And perhaps you can feel a glimpse of the fact that because our sense of time is strictly a human experience, the illusion of it, which we have learned to accept in spiritual living, is not an illusion that is happening at this moment. It is an illusion that happened many million years ago and is coming to your attention at this moment. And the reason it comes to your attention at this moment is because it is being viewed by another illusion, your sense of humanhood, which also began billions of years ago. And the fact that both illusions are one as old as the other makes them seem current to each other. The reason this is brought forth this evening is that we may clarify the difference between concept and reality. That we may begin to see that when the brain says, I am sick, you're listening to a tape recording. And if you heard that tape recording actually on a tape, you would say, well, that's just tape. It's not me it's talking about, it's just tape. Well, the brain is playing a tape. And you can learn to be independent of that tape recording of the brain. Whether it's visual or audio, whether it's a soundtrack, whether it's a smell or a taste or a touch. We are looking at delayed broadcasts of the five senses. We are beginning to feel the depth of the illusion of time and space. And as this becomes evident to you as a sham, a shallow tissue, and you become more aware of the eternal now in which this cannot be happening, you begin to see that now in your true identity is quite different than now in your human selfhood. And that is how you begin to invest this minute with spiritual significance. Now, I am the Spirit of God. This tape recording of the brain which says I am sick is a lie. It's the false now. It's the imitation of now. It's the passing now. The now that will become yesterday. The now that came from the future into this moment. But there is a now that did not come from tomorrow and will not go into yesterday. There is the allness of God's now, and in that now I am. And in that now which I am, there is no brain to record sickness. There is no life span in God. There is no transition in God. There is no quality and quantity in God. There is only self-being, self, now and forever now. The now of self in God is the eternal now that is constantly now, not changing. And that now I am now and ever will be now, and that is oneness. At that center, which is also the complete periphery and all that it contains, I am the one. And this is not a passing now that I am living. This is an eternal now. And because it is an eternal now, it cannot be pregnant with the various diseases of the earth, the discords, the injustices, and the inhumanities. It must be self-fulfilling now. And now I am not sowing to the flesh, I am sowing to the spirit. Now, by accepting only the perfect self now. And as you rest in this perfect self, rejecting every temptation to believe you are another, this perfect self is the sowing of spirit, which will become the harvesting of spiritual fruit. And as you continue to dwell in the consciousness of eternal now, not passing now, perfect now, you will discover that the gap between sowing and harvesting is shortened. Until someday, the sowing and the harvesting are simultaneous, as it was with Jesus. Now there is manna from the sky. Now there is food for the hungry. Now the cripple walks. The harvesting and the sowing were both at the same time, because there had been a constant awareness that now are we the sons of God. And only now. The moment you depart from the eternal now, you walk away from truth. You walk away from spirit. You walk away from self. You walk away from life. You are separated through the false sense of now. And then the grace cannot flow, for grace can only flow now. And the moment you are separated from now, you are separated from the sufficiency in all things which flows from divine grace. And so we are investing our moments with the realization of truth, which will not permit duality, separation, a false sense of self, a life to be lived in passing time. We know that all the evils of this world only take place in that passing time. Again, we can take every problem that might potentially occur in this world and in advance of it actually occurring in our lives, we can review the possibilities within ourselves and see that whatever occurs of a discordant nature cannot be happening in the real eternal now, but only in passing time, which is the imitation of now. And therefore we can quickly spot it when it tries to tempt us into accepting it as a reality. Our consciousness being trained and honed to the point where it is razor sharp, alert, and can quickly discern that anything in passing time is not the eternal now, ultimately becomes accustomed to shucking off that which is not, without any real conscious effort. Just as you shuck off 2 and 2 is 5, or that your name is something that it isn't, so does the trained consciousness shuck off that which is not the reality of eternal now. Now, as you invest every moment with this conscious practice, now, 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 that now extends. And now it's 5 years later, but it's still now to you. And that continuing consciousness of now maintains the kingdom of God on earth where you stand. There is no aging process in that now. There is no fluctuating health. There are no discordant relationships. It is impossible in the now. But these appear to the degree that we become lax, unalert, tempted to sow to the flesh, to human plans, to human thinking, to human hopes. Now, lest it seem too rigid, we must allow for the fact that you do have to plan ahead for tomorrow. And the question comes up then, how do I plan ahead if God is not anywhere except in the instant now? And this is answered very simply. God has already done all the planning ahead that must be done. In the finished kingdom, all is done. There's nothing you can do on this earth that is new. If you could do anything that was new, then God would be a changing God. God would not be the constant. The infinite self, whatever you do that you consider new, is merely a slow unfoldment of that which is already real in the present invisible kingdom of God. And because you are in the now, in your spiritual consciousness, you are learning to depend on the omniscience of God. Joel has an interesting little phrase. He says, we're perfectly willing to let God take care of the nights because we're too tired to stay awake. But as soon as we get up in the morning, we think we better take over. He says, you can trust God with the day as well as the night. You can trust the infinite consciousness. And so, in your meditations, you find that you are given the realization of oneness from within. And when this ordination comes upon you, and you are given an insight into what you must do in the human future, you are not planning a future, you are planning in the now. And that now that you are being told about will unravel in a human future. And that human future will show forth the ordination and the grace of that which came forth in the divine now to unravel into what is called a human future. Then you go about the footsteps. Your house has been built by the inner self. Others, however, who make their plans, who are not given the realization of oneness, they move out then into human time, which is separation. Instead of their activities being unseparated from the divine now, they are separated. And their harvest is quite different than yours. So time and space are not going to disappear because we understand their nature, but rather they are going to show forth the fruits of our understanding. We know that life exists beyond the grave. That was made quite clear by Jesus. It was also demonstrated by him that every moment of every incarnation he spent upon this earth was necessary to make possible his visible form after crucifixion. Only because of his awareness that life is eternal and immortal, could he demonstrate a visible form to his disciples after crucifixion. And that visible form after crucifixion is telling us about the eternal, infinite nature of our life. Now, once you have come past the barrier of merely living for this lifespan and are able to not favor next year over 100 years from now, but to live in the knowledge that your life is always the eternal life, that neither life nor death can separate you from your eternal life, then instead of planning to make the next 10, 20, and 30 years the fullness, because you think after that you will have no more life to spend, we learn instead that we're not going to waste our effort trying to stuff eternity into 10, 20, or 30 years. We do not plan a life span. After life is just as important as what we call life. We know the continuity of existence. And we know that what you do before transition determines what you're going to do after transition. We even know that you cannot have a spiritual afterlife unless you have a spiritual before afterlife. It's the continuity of what you're doing now, which is what you will be doing tomorrow. Joel's explanation is that if you're an A or a B student in high school and go to college, it's quite likely you're going to be an A or B student in college. If you're living in the spirit now, that's the only way you could live in the spirit later. If you're not living in the spirit now, then obviously there's going to come a time called reincarnation when you're going to return to the same consciousness that you left. Now, while the world is building for today and the very close tomorrow, and always doing it in time and space and matter, which is not the will of God, we have been given the privilege of letting our own will be surrendered, our own might be surrendered, our own power be surrendered, so that we can, in this very moment, determine all of our tomorrows. We won't have to sit down and say, now, what's going to happen to me tomorrow? What kind of a life will I have? Will I be successful or not, healthy or not, and so on? But rather, in this moment, in the recognition that I and the Father are one, one mind, one body, one soul, one spirit, one substance, one life, one being, in that continuing moment of realization, all of my tomorrows must be in the divine image and likeness. They will not be subject to the world, to matter, to chance, to the vicissitudes of nature, because you are accepting the presence of grace on the ground where you stand. You are accepting yourself to be the light, and in the light there can be no darkness. Now, when you meditate with the awareness that time and space for you have no validity, that you're not a form in time and in space, that you're not accepting this concept of life to be you, then you take that pause, which the Bible calls waiting upon the Lord, that rest, that Sabbath, as if to wait just a second or two for the sense mind to unclutter itself, perhaps to spend itself, so that you have a moment of rest. And in this meditation, momentarily contemplate the presence now of the eternal and the infinite. Consciously taking yourself out of time into the eternal, out of space into the infinite, and there abiding for a moment until you find that in the eternal and the infinite, your human mind is but a toy, and you are perfectly willing to surrender that toy, because now you are no longer a child. And you rest in no human mind, but in the eternal mind, the infinite mind. And this, at that moment, becomes your mind, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. And that form of meditation, with no asking or seeking or praying in the human sense, just the luxury of resting in the eternal and the infinite. That is spiritually sowing. And in human time, that spiritual sowing will appear as one or many forms of grace. And as often as you can do this, simply resting, not coming in with questions or seeking, just knowing my Father knoweth all needs. And having known all needs, my Father has already provided for those needs. I can depend on the eternal infinite presence of the Father here now to be the continuing law of my being. From this comes my peace. It can never begin in time or space. And as long as your consciousness remains in time and space, it can never reach you. It has no way of making contact with a human mind and a human body. Reality can never enter unreality. And so you must leave unreality. And now, in that moment of nowness, not only are the questions that you might have asked being answered, but work is being done infinitely, eternally, so that every incarnation in which you will ever appear is affected by this moment of now. Every afterlife, so-called, that you will come back into is affected by this moment of now. You are making your million tomorrows in a moment of silence, resting outside of time and outside of space. And while the world is not in the now of reality, no matter what it is doing, is completely without significance. It will only be human fruit. It is as if the branch of the tree separated from the vine, from the trunk, if it went up to the moon, it still could not be sustained by that tree because of its separation. And it could not bear fruit. And the branch that we are at this moment is only one with the tree through the conscious realization that now God is flowing as the universe, as the law, as the power, as the substance, as the activity, and as the continuity. Nothing can enter that to defile it. The Father's will is being done now. In me, here, where I stand, always. And then my now, when tomorrow comes, will be this same now that I have just lived through. And it will be harvest time. Without asking. Many of us, when we have meditated, have come into the meditation with questions, with latent hopes and desires, with problems that we sort of obliquely hoped the spirit would dissolve. And these were all an approach to the higher realization that I have no problems. For now I am the spirit, not the flesh. Only the spirit is now. The flesh is in time. And as you catch the distinction that the flesh is in time and the spirit is now, you cannot be in now in the flesh. Flesh changes in time. Flesh grows. Flesh deteriorates. Flesh gets thin and fat and stout and tall and short, well and unwell. This is in time. And I in the flesh cannot be in the now. And so to be in the now, you must be in the spirit. For only the spirit is in the now. And therefore I am spirit, and automatically I am in the now. In my identity as spirit, I am in the eternal now. That spirit which I was before the world was, I am now. And that is why it is said that God requireth that which is past, because I was the spirit of God before the world was. I am that spirit now. And in that awareness, the full tree of life is blossoming with many branches of fruit of different nature. The full storehouse of the Father is opening into my experience, and it will shower forth in time and in space for human eyes to see, for human hands to touch. But I will not rejoice. Nor will I be sad when they are no longer there. For there is no human self to rejoice or to be sad. There is only the spirit now. There is no human self to be elated or despondent, to be well or to be sick. In the now, and so you see, as you continuously sow to now, to spirit, you are coming closer and closer and closer to the great law that as you sow, so shall you reap. And if you sow sonship, if you live hid in Christ, in the now, in the spirit, all that I have is thine. Now then, let us look at this world in time and space as a great outpicturing, as if we were looking at a huge chart. If the sails of the firm went up, we would see the line going up, and if the sails went down, the line would go down. And so we would see this index telling us what happened. So it is that this great world is the chart. One vast television picture telling us at a glance the nature of the world consciousness and of our own consciousness. We use it to keep us on our toes. We use time and space as an ally. But we have overcome them so that they cannot present to us evidence which we call reality. We know that time is a delayed tape recording of eternity. That space is the visual delayed tape recording of infinity. And we stand back and watch these two tapes intertwine, presenting to us evidence not of reality, but of our departure from reality. And we meet that departure by silence, resting, knowing. All is already completed in its perfection. This tape recording is not showing the true picture, is not playing the true sound. It is an interpretation about my spirit. It is an illusion that began thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, and men have accepted it. I am independent of illusion, independent of sound, independent of appearance, independent of the material world, because I am spirit now. And in this is your power. You must redeem all of the untoward appearances as they happen. You must redeem all of the good appearances at the same time. If you are not in the habit of redeeming these appearances, whether they're good or bad, when they're bad, you will have difficulty with them. If you've been redeeming them when they're good, you'll find when they're bad, it's no problem whatsoever. It's because you've accepted the good ones that you have trouble redeeming the bad. But if you conscientiously redeem all material appearances to know that this which appears before me, healthy, is not the Spirit of God, and unhealthy is not the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is not a material thing. You may say, well, you mean I've got to do that with everything? Yes, you do. And it's time we face that we do. Because until you redeem everything you face constantly and consciously, you're not sowing to the Spirit. You're not acknowledging God in all your ways. There's only one way to acknowledge God, and that's not to acknowledge what is not God. And this visible creation is not God. Good or bad, you must acknowledge God, and therefore you must look at the visible and reconcile yourself to God by redeeming that which appears to be something with a conscious knowing that it is not what it appears to be. It is I, the invisible Spirit of God, that I am. The healthy man is I, the invisible Spirit. The unhealthy man is I, the invisible Spirit. There is no difference between either of them, because only I, the invisible Spirit of God, is there. And I, the invisible Spirit of God, is here. And there is no separation. This becomes a constant conscious redeeming of this world. And you may be sure, if Jesus hadn't gone through that, there would have been no resurrection. There would have been no so-called miracles. There would have been no ship on the shore the instant he stepped upon it. There would have been no walking through doors or vanishing in crowds. There would have been no New Testament. Somebody had to do the work. And it's a laborious work. And he had to do it through many incarnations. And you have started many incarnations ago. Whether or not this is your last lap or not, there's no way to know. But this you can be sure of, that what you do now is going to determine what you do tomorrow. What you do before this transition is going to determine what you do after transition.